Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation on a variety of hopefully mundane topics so that you can just listen and relax and drift off. I'm your host, Marco Timpano. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everyone who has told your friends and family about the podcast. We're getting a lot of people telling us that they've heard about our podcast through word of mouth. So if you enjoy this podcast, feel free to share it with your friends. We are going to be doing the second part of our two-parter with friend of the show and good friend of mine, Nima Karazi. And we started it with tattoo and birds. The first part dealt more with tattoos, and this second part will deal with more with birds, that is. And if you're looking for podcasts, might I suggest Nima Karazi's podcast, My Gastric Sleeve, where he takes us on the journey of himself getting a gastric sleeve. Well, until the next episode, I leave you in the wonderful hands of Nima Karazi and myself, Marco Timpano. Enjoy. All right, so you mentioned that you want to get an owl tattoo, and you mentioned the finch tattoo, and you also mentioned that you have a bird that represents various people in your life. So let's talk birds.
Let's talk birds.
And you know that I've been a little bit bird fascinating because I play this board game called Wingspan that features birds from North America, and then I got the European expansion, so it is a lot of European birds, and then there's the oceanic expansion, which I'm not ready for, but that will cover Australia and those fancy birds from out there. But I'm really into birds, and what happens is when you play this game, I should say I wasn't really into birds, but the more I play this game, the more I become familiar with birds. And so we'll be walking and I'll see a common grackle, and I'll be, there's a common grackle. They're worth 4 points and they lay 3 eggs. And I'll just be like rattling off the various things I've learned from playing the game.
So I have a similar introduction to birds in that I have a coworker of mine that does a word of the day kind of thing.
Sure.
So he's like, here's the new word of the day or whatever. And so one day he shared this app that's like I think it's called Merlin, and it's a bird app that can identify birds either by a picture that you take,
right,
or by their call. So you record on the app and then it identifies the bird. So I'm like, I go on walks, you know, almost every day. I ride my bike a lot. I'm outdoors a lot. So let me download this app and kind of see what happens. Who cares, right?
Sure.
Birds are
sure.
Cool. But I'm like into raptors. Like I'm not into like common house finches and towhees and that kind of stuff. I don't care about those guys, right?
You like birds of prey is what you're saying.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So raptors are like hawks and eagles and owls.
Sure.
Like anything with talons essentially. Mm-hmm. And falcons. So I'm really excited about this app and I start getting it and I sit outside on my balcony and there's this like tree over there and these finches come on the tree and they start making these calls. So the first bird I catch on the app is a house finch. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I recognize that. We put a hummingbird feeder up in our balcony. And then this is the dumbest thing. I'm going to make a boxing reference real quick too.
Sure.
So when I was younger, and when I say younger, I mean like 20, like up until like 25, I think.
Sure.
When you watch boxing and you hear the boxers go when they're throwing punches,
right?
I thought they were punching so hard that their gloves were making that sound cutting through the air,
right?
And it turns out they're just breathing.
Oh, I see.
Really. Okay. Hard when they throw a punch.
I see.
So I was like really dumb for a really long time. And up until a month ago, less than a month ago, I didn't, if you told me what sound do hummingbirds make, I'd go, they make like a whirring sound when
right.
they fly, but they don't chirp. Hummingbirds chirp.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Don't be silly.
When I see a hummingbird, I chirp, so I can only imagine. Right.
They have a very cute, they have a very like precise chirp. It's short and it's high pitched. It fits them. It's very befitting. That's the word I was looking for. It's a very befitting chirp. So it's like like that. So then I caught a hummingbird on the app, and then I went for a walk, and then I heard a red-tailed hawk.
Yes.
Do his cry.
Or her cry.
And they sound like, you know, ha! Like that's a crow, but you get what I mean. It's very high-pitched. People are trying to sleep.
I know. I apologize to all our listeners who have been woken up by the sounds of Nima's repertoire in the bird field.
This is the problem. I need like a melatonin or like a chamomile or something.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the low dulcet tones of the Insomnia Project. So anyway, so I heard a red-tailed hawk when I was on a walk. It was amazing.
Sure.
And then there's just all these different things. These like really fun different birds. And then we went to Vancouver and I caught a magpie on the app, and I didn't even know we had magpies in North America. I thought they were strictly an Australian bird. I even can do a brewer's jay, or I think it's called a brewer's something or other call.
Okay.
With some water in my mouth, I can mimic the brewer's sound. I caught a blue jay, which made me think of you immediately, because it's the Toronto Blue Jays are the baseball team, right?
That's correct. Yes, we have quite a few blue jays in my particular spot in Toronto. We have blue jays that come to our trees all the time. Oh, we see them. Yeah,
I can't wait.
They're quite vicious birds. I don't know if you know that. Or I shouldn't say vicious. They're very aggressive, territorial, and they're not afraid. And so they're very like you don't want to mess with a jay. And the blue jay is quite aggressive. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. So those kinds of things for me are like they were really, really important and incredible to be able to find these things. So then I kind of found myself walking around with this app on record and holding it up to catch like a towhee, or like there's like a really pretty bird with that looks like it's wearing like mascara,
right?
And it's real pretty. It's like called something like some sort of like chickadee or whatever.
Okay.
And it's like I not only did I catch the call of it, I also saw it hanging upside down on a tree branch, pecking at a huckleberry, a wild blueberry. So anyway, I've been like mildly obsessing about birds as of late, and really interested to go to more places to find more birds.
It's interesting you have that app, because I have a Wingspan app, so that when we play the birds, you can bring your phone over to the card and it will give you the sound of the bird you just played.
Oh.
And so we often will be like, what does that bird sound like? So what are birds that you have an affinity towards?
So my passion has always been, as you call them, birds of prey or raptors, right? Mm-hmm. So owls, hawks, falcons, and eagles.
Coincidentally, our basketball team is called the Raptors here in Toronto.
Yeah, but you guys picked the wrong raptor. You guys put the dinosaur instead of the...
Listen, we can't have birds for all our sports teams. So I think that's...
I get it.
Right.
No, but it's very fitting. I mean, not to get too much on the sports tip, of the two Canadian basketball teams, you're the ones that kept yours, because the Vancouver Grizzlies moved to Memphis.
That's right.
Are no grizzly bears. This is my favorite thing about sports teams, is like there's no Lakes in LA because they came from Minnesota.
Right.
There's no Jazz in Utah because they came from New Orleans.
Right.
So there's no Grizzlies in Tennessee. They came from Vancouver.
Right. Maybe they're just aspirational Grizzlies. But back to birds.
Yes, birds.
So your bird, because I can tell you some of my favorite birds.
Please.
Okay, so these are birds that I've spotted. So they're going to be birds that are local to me. And we mentioned the blue jays. Cardinals are beautiful birds to spot because when you spot them, they're a shock of red. Oh. And they can really like catch your eyes. And then a friend of mine told me that the cardinal represents a loved one who's passed on. So when you see a cardinal, it's a reminder or it's a connection to a past loved one, which I found very interesting. And then have you ever seen a snowy owl in real life?
No, but I'm mildly obsessed with them.
They're the most incredible thing you can see, especially when they take flight. So we were driving up north, Amanda and I, and we turned and I'm like, look at the size of that bird. And then it was like, that's a snowy owl. And yeah. It just took flight and its wingspan, pardon the connection to the game, but was just enormous. And it was just such a beautiful, elegant bird in the air and just this shock of white. And it was wintertime too. So it was like, wow, it was incredible. Wild turkeys are really cool to see in the wild. It's interesting because, you know, I know that the wild turkey was considered to be the bird to represent the U.S. before the bald eagle, right? And, you know, we have this association with turkeys as being, you know, silly little birds and not the most intelligent. But when you see a wild turkey, it is so majestic and it's so wonderful. And it's just so regal looking that I could understand why that was. I think Ben Franklin was considering that to represent the U.S. And
that's so true.
Wild turkey is incredible. And the last bird that I'll put on my list, and I saw one yesterday, and this is very indicative of the region of Canada that I'm in, that I see them quite often, is the common loon. And it's interesting they should be called the common loon because...
so Canadian of you.
Right. Well, it's just, I think, because they're you know, accessible. You see quite a bit. You can see quite a few of them. But they're a fascinating looking waterfowl. And I saw a female loon. And the male loon is a lot more striking with its color. But I saw it dive in the water. And they go on a diagonal so deep as they dive in the water. And have you heard the call of the loon? The call of the loon. Oh, so I invite you to go on your app afterwards and listen to the call of the loon because it has a very distinct call. And of course, the loon, much like the turkey, associated with a more derogatory than you know, positive association. And I think it's because of the call is such a distinct call. But it is a fascinating bird to see on the water, to see dive in the water, and to see take flight. And so for me, the loon is a lovely, wonderful bird. Those are my birds.
I love it. The loon, the only reason I know the loon at all is when you go to Canada, for you non-Canadians listening, the Canadians don't have $1 and $2 bills. They have coins that have loon on it for one.
Yes.
Or are there two loons on the $2 bill $2 coin?
No, the loon is only on the $1 coin. We used to have.
What is on the $2 coin?
The $2 coin is, oh my goodness, I want to say it's a polar bear, if I'm not mistaken. They change it, Nima, so it's.
I see.
Yeah, but I believe it's and I don't have one on me, but I believe it's a polar bear. My goodness, I'm going to face the ire of my countrymen and women who are listening, who are like probably yelling into their headphones. But anyways, sorry, continue.
But so they call the $1 coin a loonie, and then they call the $2 coin a toonie.
It's true.
So loonies and toonies. And fun fact here is that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Canada got rid of pennies. Is that true?
We did. Yeah, we did. So we had $1 and $2 bills when I was younger. And then we came out with the coin to represent the $1, which is the loonie, as you correctly described, or as we colloquially call it, the loonie, because there's a loon on it. The toonie, which is the $2 coin, which does, in fact, have a polar bear. I just checked.
Oh, good.
And there's a bunch of
designs.
Thank
goodness.
Yes. My goodness. You really had me sweating there. But we did, sadly, get rid of the penny because our pennies made from copper costed more, or the value of them were more than the 1 cent that they represented. And so we got rid of them because they were also, that sort of denomination wasn't being used as much anymore. So we rounded up or down, however you want to call it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's just the smartest way to do business. And I love it. We have dollar coins here, but no one uses them. We also have a $2 bill here that my grandfather gives us every year for Persian New Year. And it's my most coveted thing I get for Persian New Year is his $2 bill.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But no, but you have to spend it. Once you get the new one, you have to spend the old one. And it's really difficult to spend a $2 bill because people sometimes won't accept it because they think that it's fake.
Right.
So you go to like you go to a local store and you're like, hey, you know, let me get this thing. Like it's $2.10 and you put the $2 bill in a dime and then they go, I don't, that's not real. Yeah.
Wow. So the challenge is trying to spend the $2.
Yeah.
What are your birds? So I named about five birds. What are the birds that fascinate you? And I know that they're raptor-style birds.
They are raptor-style birds. So familial birds for me are my mother loves hummingbirds very much.
I see.
So I love hummingbirds. Anna's hummingbirds or red-throated, ruby-throated hummingbirds are probably my favorite, or emerald. Throated hummingbirds. They're really, really pretty. My father read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right.
And then he kind of made us all read it too when we were younger. And he made us read a lot of books, but he really loved To Kill a Mockingbird. And then I told him about the mockingbird. The reason why, the whole premise of the mockingbird and why it's a sin to kill the mockingbird is the mockingbird mimics the sound of other birds.
Right.
And this is thought of as like a lovely thing, but in reality, it's a thing the mockingbird does to irritate other birds, to get them to fly away.
I see.
So that the mockingbird can have that parcel of land and then have a better kind of view of, you know, where they need to feed and whatnot. So it seems nice, but also if there's a mockingbird in your neighborhood, you're going to get a lot of hits on that app.
Right, of like, course, of course.
Oh my God, I have a cardinal. Oh, now it's a blue jay. Oh, now it's a crow. Oh, now it's a car alarm. Now, you're right.
Okay.
Got it. So my dad is once I told him that, he was like, that's amazing. I love it. So he loves mockingbirds now. So that's his bird is that.
Sure.
My grandma's the finch. My grandfather is a difficult one because I would have put him as an owl. Right. However, my grandfather thinks that owls are a bad omen.
Oh my goodness.
If they land on your house, it means something bad is going to happen.
I see.
He's very superstitious like that.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to come up with a different bird for my grandfather. He's also kind of like, he doesn't really care too much.
Okay.
But my birds, my favorite birds are, there's a falcon called the kestrel falcon, which is about the size of a pigeon.
Okay, the kestrel.
And it's with a K, and it's beautiful. And this is the beauty of kestrel falcons that I've discussed with falconers before. It's how much I'm into birds.
Love it.
Kestrel falcons you can catch in the wild, bring home, and feed for like 2 weeks straight, like just hand feed them for 2 weeks. They will become tame. You can tie a string to their leg, cover their face, and then take them out hunting. A lot of people that have kestrel falcons hunt with their birds from their cars. So they'll drive on the left side of a residential neighborhood.
Okay. All this sounds wrong to me, but continue.
All of it's wrong.
Okay.
And the bird is sitting on their hand out the window with a string attached to it. And the bird will see a grasshopper or some other little animal that it can get to eat. And it'll take flight because it sees better than us, obviously.
Of course.
It takes flight and swoops down and catches that grasshopper. Then the driver stops the car, gets out, picks up the bird, brings it back in the car. So they have to like hunt like 3 days a week. They have to be fed a certain amount of food, like not too much food. Otherwise, they'll get too heavy. They can't fly.
Right.
It's a whole thing. But when you're done having that as a pet, if you untie the rope from the kestrel's foot and release it into a nearby tree, by the time you go out for the day and come back, so like give it 8 hours, it's wild again.
Okay.
Which is a thing that happens to a lot of animals, like pigs, for example, domesticated pigs, generationally domesticated. So like 5-6 generations of domesticated pigs, which you can tell with their floppy ears and lack of tusks and no real like bristly boar hair.
Right.
When you put that fat domesticated 6-generational pig back into the wild, within 6 months, it has tusks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Boar hair and the ears are back up again.
You know what's funny? If you put me in the wild for 6 months, my tusks and my bristles will definitely show
themselves. That makes sense. That actually makes sense.
All right. So
they can go back to being wild animals and you haven't affected them negatively. They still know to hunt, which is why hunting is so important and all that. So like the Mongols in Mongolia that still use falcons to catch prey.
Right.
Well, you have to catch your own falcon when you're like 15 on a horse. You don't have to catch your own horse.
Right.
But you have to catch your own falcon, train that falcon, and you get to keep that falcon for 2 years, and then you have to release it back so that it can have kids and make more falcons for future Mongols.
I see.
So like you only borrow it. You're only leasing the falcon.
Right, right. Wow. So that's the kestrel falcon.
Yeah, and then my other bird is also another tiny bird. It's called the screech owl.
Yes, of course.
It's about the size of your hand.
Yes, in the palm of your hand, yes.
It's adorable. And the reason why I love the screech owl is there's a movie called My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
With Joe Pesci.
Marissa Tomei, yes.
Academy Award winner, Marissa Tomei.
Ralph Macchio, yes, of course, yeah.
And yeah, Ralph Macchio's in it. I forgot that he's in it. And Herman Munster is the judge. Anyway.
That's right.
So Joe Pesci goes to this.
Fred Gwynne is his name, by the way.
Is that it?
Yeah. Herman Munster is the character he played on the Munsters.
right.
But yeah.
Fred Gwynne.
He was brilliant in that, too.
Oh, he was amazing.
I think that was the last film he ever made, and he was fantastic. Anyway, sorry. We're not going to go on a My Cousin Vinny dive, but continue.
You know, can I just mention real quick?
Of course.
The fact that we're talking about birds and constantly going on bird walks is the dream, Mark.
Okay.
So anyway, Joe Pesci finds a cab. He can't sleep in the hotel room. It's too many trains, all this stuff. He goes to get this cabin. He sleeps in the cabin. And in the middle of the night, there's this little screech owl. And it's called a screech owl because it screeches really, really loud, very high pitch. But it's this tiny little thing. And he gets outside. He starts throwing things around. And he goes back inside. The screech owl starts screeching. He takes the gun out and starts shooting blindly into the woods. And then he's like, the screech owl is quiet. And he goes back in the house. And the camera kind of pans out a little bit. And it shows the screech owl in focus. And just at the perfect time, that screech owl had the best timing, I got to tell you.
They usually do.
The perfect timing, the screech owl just went and did this like really loud screech. And it was one of the funniest moments. The movie's hilarious, but one of the funniest moments. And I just fell in love with it.
Okay.
And a few years ago, I was in Redondo Beach in the South Bay. And I was walking through. They were having some, you know, outdoor markety thing. And there was a local raptor club that had not only a screech owl, but also a kestrel falcon. And I was so envious, and I wanted nothing more than to move to Redondo Beach just so I could volunteer at that organization so that I could potentially hold a screech owl and or a kestrel falcon.
Wow. And there you go.
And there you go.
Those are your birds. That's a fascinating walk down or journey, let's say, into the birds that you enjoy. Yeah. That's so great. That's so wonderful. Is there a bird that you haven't seen that you'd like to see?
There's a lot of birds that I've seen like in captivity.
Okay.
Which make me sad.
Sure.
But I also like I've seen a bald eagle, ironically, in Canada.
We have them here for sure.
You have them in spades over
there.
Yeah,
we do.
I think if I saw something like, I mean, it would be something. Oh, I got it. I know exactly what bird it is.
Okay.
There is a bird called the Quetzal bird. And I think the name of it is actually the Splendid Quetzal bird, like something like that. It's like right. A ridiculous, it's how you would be introduced at a fancy dinner party.
Right.
And now, may I introduce the Splendid Quetzal bird? And then this thing floats down the stairs. It's this little bird. It's about the size it's like 3 inches. The bird itself is like 3 inches, but okay. The tail of the bird is very long and green, and it has about maybe 4 or 5 very long green feathers out of the back, and they're probably about 10 inches long or 12 inches.
Okay.
And if you can picture Montezuma's headdress.
I see.
Those green, really brilliantly emerald green feathers in that headdress are from the Quetzal bird.
I see.
Which is predominantly in Costa Rica.
I see.
Or some other
South American region.
Latin American country. And the reason why that bird, if I saw, I think I might just pass out I might get a tear in my eye. I definitely want to get that bird tattooed. For sure.
Well, you have that bird would allow for a lot of movement wherever you place it, right?
Yes, that would be a shoulder bird for sure.
The splendid the splendid part has a lot of room to travel.
Yeah, the feathers would probably wrap around a little in that.
Right.
But yeah, but that bird particularly there's a tiny little story. I'll make it short, but my father and I were walking down the street in La Habra. And I saw this Mexican restaurant that had the Quetzal bird on the side as an image. And my dad goes, "What a beautiful bird." And I said, "Do you know the story about this bird?" And he said, "No, what's the story?" I said, this tribe in South America, to be considered an adult, like a man in the tribe, you have to catch, you have to get one of these feathers and bring it back, but you can't kill the bird because it's sacred.
Right.
So when you're 12 years old, you leave your village and you follow this bird in the hopes that it will drop a tail feather.
I see.
And you can pick that up. And then you can take that back to the village and then you will become a man. But sometimes you follow the bird for 2 years. And it nests and everything and nothing. And then all of a sudden the bird will fly across a waterfall and then you lost it. Wow. And now you have to hunt for another bird. And my dad just kind of took a moment and he said, "That's amazing. Is that true?" And I said, "Yeah, it's totally true." And then I must have been about 12 or 13 years old at the time. And I told him this story. And then maybe about 15 years later, so I'm like 27, 28. My dad we were looking at something, and then a picture of the Quetzal bird showed up, and he's like, "Oh, that's the bird from the village." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, by the way, total fabrication, completely not true at all. He goes, "You made the whole thing up?" I go, "The bird's real, but the rest of it is just total fallacy, nothing. And he was so impressed. He was like, "That was such a great story, and I really believed it and everything." So I'm actually going to write a book, a children's book, about a child, Montezuma, who has to get that feather in order to become king.
I see. Fascinating.
So that's going to be my uh, my homage to my father.
Well, I'm certainly glad you mentioned it on a podcast where people can certainly take that idea and do it.
I hope so. Yeah, take it so I don't have to do it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, listen, Nima, this has been quite a journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marco.
We have really expounded, and this might be a two-parter, but I do appreciate it, this sojourn with tattoos and birds and bird tattoos, for that matter. Whoever's listening, I hope you encounter your favorite bird at some point. But Nima, thank you again. Your podcast, once again, is called My Gastric Sleeve. You're always welcome to be a guest on the Insomnia Project. And there are other episodes like chess and marine animals that we need to talk about.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll do chess and marine animals. We'll just pick an animal and another thing that has nothing to do with the animal world, and we'll combine them. And those will
love
be our
it.
Episodes.
Let's do that.
That's great. Well, enjoy your time. Thank you for coming in all the way from Santa Clarita, California.
Thank you, Marco. This is so much fun. It's the highlight of my day, and I really appreciate it. You're the best.
Thank you so much. And for everyone else out there, I hope you were able to listen and sleep.